I've been saying for years what Jesus said about unforgiveness, that when you don't forgive, you are not forgiven. Does that mean you're saved? No, it doesn't. So much for unconditional eternal security. You can't be saved when you're not forgiven. You know, even the blood of bulls and goats brought forgiveness. It just couldn't take away sin, right? I have an interesting thing I want to share with you here. Actually, we had it on video, but Robin was kind enough to transcribe it for me. This is a pastor. His name was Daniel, and it's very hard to pronounce this, but I'll give it a shot. Ekachukwu. That's not very good, I'm sure. I hope he didn't listen to me. And we were shown this video of him, and he died. And an angel took him to heaven and then to hell. So this was translated. I'm going to share this with you. After he died, the movie turns to the true story of Pastor Daniel in Nigeria, who was raised from the dead after 3 days. And there were many, many witnesses, folks. It happened. And Pastor Daniel died after a road traffic accident. His body was in a mortuary for 3 days, and he came back to life at a crusade conducted by Pastor Reinhard Bonnke. And however, it was just the folks gathered around him. I don't think Reinhard even prayed for him. The people that were gathered around him, his wife, stood in faith. She wasn't going to turn loose because she had promises. Remember that, folks. You got a promise from God, stand on it. Don't be double-minded. The Lord is faithful. And she didn't, even after it looked like it was too late. You know, maybe I'm jumping ahead and the story will say that. I better back up here. Anyway, he still has his death certificate written by a hospital doctor. And in the movie, he recounts his experiences with amazing computer-generated images of both heaven and hell. The angelic voices that are heard in heaven are actual angelic voices recorded at a small church in South Africa. The actual footage of the coming back to life of Pastor Daniel is shown in the movie. Pastor Daniel is personally interviewed in the movie. And this is a transcription of a small clip of the video concerning this. And Daniel said, "Suddenly I had some feelings and for me to look up, and I saw two angels." This is when he was laid out on the floor, you know. And the narrator says this: "When Daniel saw the two angels, he wanted to let his wife know, but the angel indicated that he should keep silent. Immediately Daniel's power of speech was taken from him, and Neha, which is his wife, began to cry, fearing that Daniel would die. The angels took Daniel by his shoulders and lifted him out of the ambulance." That I imagine that's speaking about his soul, right? "Suddenly Daniel found himself in another place with one of the angels, and the angel said, 'Daniel, I have a lot to show you.' And as Daniel looked out, he saw a place where a multitude of people gathered, and their appearance was like that of the angels. Their color was pure white, and their bodies seemed to glow with radiance. And because of their similar appearance, Daniel thought he was seeing a gathering of the angels. But the angels spoke this to him: 'This is not the gathering of the angels, Daniel. This is the gathering of the saints.'" Now, the differences between the saints and the angels were subtle. Their color is a pure, brilliant white from their hair down to their feet. But the difference in this case was that the angels had wings and the saints do not. The Lord was differentiating them there. I mean, cherubim and seraphim, by the way, in the Bible do have wings. Okay. So some people say, oh, no, angels don't have wings. Oh, well, the angels you saw don't have wings. But these angels had wings, and they do in the Bible, too. The two different orders of angels, there may be more than that, but we know there are two, cherubim and seraphim, you know. And that's what the scripture teaches. And the saints were worshiping God. They worshiped God with one voice and raised their hands as they were singing. Daniel heard the sound of many instruments, and the sounds were like nothing he had encountered before. He longed to join these people and move over towards them, but the angels stopped him. And the angels said, Daniel, don't go. I have a lot to show you. Take this file and record everything you see. The multitude that Daniel saw were all looking at a bright light that shone like the sun. It was a source of all the light there. And Daniel said, a very thick, heavy light coming upon them there. Now they were all looking at that light as if they were seeing something there, but to me, I cannot look at that light. I cannot look at that light because it's so dangerous for my eyes. So I tried to budge to look through, but they were looking through, but to me, I cannot look through. So that means looking through the light to who is inside that light, right? That's what he was talking about. And the angel said, let's visit the mansions Jesus prepared for his people. And, of course, immediately it says that Daniel was in a new place with radiant mansions as far as the eye could see. It was incomparable to anything he knew on earth. Though the appearance resembled buildings, the structure was unusual, not made with any earthly materials. They seemed to be alive and moving. When the angel said, Daniel, Jesus has finished his work. The mansions are ready, but the saints are not ready. There was a sound of beautiful singing and worship, and it seemed to come from all around. Daniel wondered where the singing was coming from, because he could see no people there. And the angel said, Daniel, the worship song you're hearing is being sung by the flowers. As he looked, Daniel saw the flowers swinging in response to the music. It actually seemed as if they were clapping their hands and shouting and praising God. Yeah, that's kind of like the scriptures, right? The angel said, they are waiting for the saints. We are now going to visit hell. Can you see the gates of hell? The angel raised his hand, and as he brought it down, the gates ripped open with a great noise. Daniel could hear the crying and the wailing of many people, but he could not see any of them. And then a light shone from the angel's body into the darkness so that Daniel could see more clearly. There were many people there. But unlike the souls in heaven, the appearance of these people was as it had been on earth. They were from every race, culture, and nationality. Every person seemed trapped in their own personal torment, a torment which would go on for eternity, and they could not communicate with others. The sounds of crying and wailing were almost deafening. Suddenly, they all seemed to become aware of Daniel and started crying to him for help. And they called to Daniel only as if they could not see the angel. And then a pastor spoke up out of hell. He said, please help me. I'm a pastor. I stole money from the church and I lied. Help me, please. I'm ready to repent. Help. Can you imagine that there are people who haven't repented of their sins, changed their mind, restored things that they've stolen from God's people, or repaired the lies that they've spoken to deceive people? I tell you, the people who are working so hard to separate God's people from the Word of God and people that are ordained to minister to them, they will pay a heavy price if they don't repent. Heavy price. And immediately after the pastor made the statement, the force that was tormenting him seemed to increase. The people had flesh, but no blood. They almost seemed to be on fire, although no flames could be seen. There was a group of people that were eating their own flesh. They would vomit what they ate, and their flesh grew back. And this carried on in an endless cycle of torment. The angel said, "Those people who you see eating themselves, they practiced witchcraft while they were on earth. They specialized in eating human flesh, and now they'll eat themselves forever. They are reaping what they sowed." Daniel said, "That place is not good for any human being created by God to go. God did not make that place for human beings. He made that place for the devil and his agents. But stubborn human beings who will disobey God like the devil will also go there. God had no mind to put any human being in hell. It's a dangerous and a deadly place he meant for the devil and his people." What was to follow was an earth-shattering statement by the angel. Daniel couldn't have imagined in his wildest dreams that he would hear the judgment. The angel said, "Daniel, if the book of your life was to be closed today, this would be your portion." In other words, hell. And Daniel said, "No, I'm a pastor. I'm a child of God. I'm born again. I preach all over this country I'm in, the country which I'm in, this country. No, no, this can't be." And the angel said, "Enough. Daniel, on your way to the first hospital, you are asking God to forgive you, but you would not forgive your wife, and your sins have not been forgiven." Ooh. So, people have a place in hell that don't forgive? Well, of course, because they do not forgive others. They have a place in hell. Wow, how dangerous treading next to the lake of fire, okay? The angel stopped him. All of his, "I'm this, I'm that," didn't make a bit of difference to the angel, and it didn't make a bit of difference to the judgment either. As he'd already been witnessed to by this pastor that was there for his sins that he never repent of and never went back and made it right, right? "It's a matter of reaping what you sow," the angel said. "You cannot sow unforgiveness towards your wife and reap forgiveness from God." Wow, you hear that, friends? What an education we've been getting recently on this forgiveness business. You know, we found out that some people think they've forgiven, or they give lip service to the fact that they have forgiven, like the factious people did. But everybody could see that there was no forgiveness. And so could that be a reason why the devil is tormenting many? Well, absolutely. Jesus said, "If you don't forgive everyone, your brother from the heart, my Father will turn you over to the tormentors." So you pay what's due, right? So the word of the Lord will not come back void. Jesus said, the unforgiving are unforgiven. Make sure you're forgiving from the heart. I'm telling you, many Christians are getting delivered of curses that they've had all of their life when they discover that they never forgave someone from the heart, even back when they were children. Sad thing, but it's true. Some people are on their way to hell, and they don't know it. They really believe they're a child of God, just like this pastor did. They really believe it, but they're really, really going to hell. I'll read that again. The angel said, "Enough. Daniel, on your way to the first hospital, you were asking God to forgive you, but you would not forgive your wife, and your sins have not been forgiven. It's a matter of reaping what you sow. You cannot sow unforgiveness towards your wife and reap forgiveness from God." And Daniel said, "Oh, I knew he made that statement. My spirit convinced me that what the angel told me or the judgment on me is true. So he said to me that I didn't forgive my wife, that I'm not forgiven. So while I was crying, 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 shouting and shouting, I was not crying that I will only say, see how I destroyed my soul? Look at how I destroyed my soul. While I was shouting and crying, I was afraid. Tears were all over me. I was panicking because that place is not good for anyone. And the way everything was looking, if God wants to put me inside hell, nothing would prevent him, because while we are discussing some group of people, thousands of people were being sent into hell." He was watching them in the video. It depicted them falling like a flame of fire into hell. People started praying for him, praying for resurrection, that is, on his body back on earth. Daniel said, "Then the angel said to me that he's sending me back to the world to go and warn this nation, because this is going to be the last warning to this generation." And his wife, Neha, said, "As prayers were going on, then his heart began to pant. Life began to come in to his heart. We continued praying and praying, and we were praying. As all these things were going on, he began to breathe gradually, but his body was still stiff." And Daniel said, "I saw myself being held by a lot of people. I was naked. I was put on my dress. I saw crowds of people, more than 20,000 people. I looked to my left and right, and everywhere. People were shouting and crying everywhere." That's when he came to. He saw this, you know. "Some were praising God. Some was crying. And some was, I was looking around as I was looking around. I couldn't understand what was happening, because to me, I was falling down and I fell into fear. And to me, when I opened my eyes, I saw all hands were reaching out to me. They said to me, that I jumped up." So this is actually in the video. He's when they're praying for him, and he started breathing. They videotaped it actually. He started breathing and then he jumped up. "I saw this big cathedral, very big cathedral. I looked by my right, my left, my front, and my back. Everywhere it was full of people. Some people were shouting. Some were saying coffin. Some said mortuary. Some said 3 days. I couldn't understand, because my experience is not more than 15 minutes. So, I mean, he felt like he was only just a few minutes gone, or gone in hell. Yeah. So I don't know what they call about 3 days. He didn't think he was gone very long, you know. To me, there was no night. There was no day. It was only that moment I was into. But no, I said to my wife, 'What is happening?' She said I should keep quiet until we get to the house. And they brought me back to the house with his wife." Very interesting. And he, you know, there were multitudes of people that saw this and commented on it and so on and so forth. But Daniel was not saved. He had done things for God. He had been used to save people. He had been used to heal people. He knew he was saved. But the angel told him, "No, you're not." You're not forgiven because you did not forgive. That's got to be a horrible situation, folks. A horrible situation. And, you know, these were just common folks around him praying for him to be resurrected. His wife had promises that she had been given from the Lord concerning her husband, and she wasn't going to turn him loose. She stood steadfast on the word. Good thing, because they would have never been fulfilled if he'd stayed dead. And so, you know, at first she just didn't know what to do, but then she remembered these promises that the Lord made to her, and she began to speak them, and she began to tell people that she wasn't turning him loose. He had to come back, you know. And so at first a lot of people were, you know, kind of brushing her off, you know, but pretty soon everybody started praying, and the Lord heard their prayers and brought this man back from 3 days dead. And with a very important message. And to me, the biggest and most important message is that it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. If you don't forgive, you're not going to be forgiven, because Jesus said so. He spoke the word of the Lord. And if you're not forgiven, you are not saved. You say, how can I not be saved? I've done this, I've done that. That's not going to count. Just as Ezekiel says, you know. You won't remember any of those good things you've done if you die in sin. None of those good things will count towards anything if you die in sin. On the same order, if you turn to the Lord, Ezekiel, he said to Ezekiel, if a person turns to the Lord, none of the evil things that they've done will be remembered against them. So, if you are a Christian and you have not forgiven someone, think about it. You can tell when you've forgiven someone. When this person comes to your thoughts, when their face comes to your, their image comes into your mind, and they come to your thoughts, what are your thoughts about them? Are they always the bad things that they did to you? Do you feel any resentment for that? Are you demanding your rights? If you don't forgive others, you will not be forgiven. It will not happen. Who are you to play God? You know, sometimes people that you don't forgive are people that were in bondage to Satan. They would have loved to have been free, like you've been freed. They would have loved it. And if they had been freed, they would have been good Christians. But they were in bondage. They did things because they were in bondage to sin, bound in sin, shapen in iniquity. They did things because of that. And you're blaming them for that. But you, when you were saved, you were forgiven of all the evil things that you did. So you must forgive them. That's why God is so angry with people who don't forgive and turns them over to tormenting demons so that they pay their own debt of sin. I tell you, friends, I know, you know, Robin rushed to type this up because we had it in a video, but it was very hard to tell the man's English, you know, so we passed this on to Robin. Kind of unfair at the last minute to please transcribe this for us, and she did a really good job. But we'll try to clean it up even more and get it to you. She didn't even have time to do that. So, but the message is very clear, folks. Be sure. Be sure. Be sure. There are so many people. I mean, after the lessons we've received lately, we've talked to people who have tried to impress on Christian loved ones that they must forgive. And you know what? They make excuses like they don't have to. And they don't understand. They're standing with one foot on a banana peel and the other one in hell. Oh, God. Oh, God. Father, in the name of Jesus, please grant grace to those that are listening to me and they haven't forgiven someone, a father, a mother, a spouse, a friend, a brother, a sister, they haven't, one that they considered a friend who did them wrong, they haven't forgiven them. Saints, do it. Confess it. Pray for the person you haven't forgiven. Ask God to take that out of your heart. You do not want it. Take it out of your heart. You do not want this. Ask Him to put forgiveness and love in your heart for whoever that person is. Who are you to play God? You have a right to judge someone when God forgave you all of your sins. You won't forgive this person one of theirs. Matthew 18, parable there, says just that. You can't go on with God without forgiving. You're probably being tormented right now by some spirits if you haven't forgiven. Doesn't matter if you did it from a child. You don't even know who the real you is until you've forgiven. We've had people give testimonies of that here on this program. You don't know who the real you is. You've never been free unless you've forgiven. Oh, you have every right in the world after you're forgiven to all the benefits of God, but you've got no right whatsoever if you haven't forgiven. He said that He turned you over to the tormentors until you pay your debt. Wow, that's a big debt. You're not forgiving this person this one debt, this one problem, this one thing. And they were probably tormented by the devil themselves. You should have pity on them, right? You should be crying out for them. You know, not that you can save them. You can't if they're not already saved. But you should be crying because of what they went through. They made bad choices, right? That's right. But see, I'm looking at this little note from Vicki here. I'm going to just read it to you. Hi, Brother David. I posted this on our local blog, you know. And she said, hi, Brother David. I know you're very busy, and I'm really sorry to send this today. I just need to get this out right now. I'm over here in awe of God. Unforgiveness is so, so, so very serious. I don't believe people are really getting it yet. After watching the video, I was weeping and searching my heart again. If I had have died at any time before the end of the trial He took me through, I would be in hell. Knowing that puts a reverent fear of God in me. I'm so thankful. He keeps me very humble. I love Him so very, very much. I want others to have this kind of awe and reverence and fear of God. Well, I could go on, but will not keep you any longer. Thank you for your kind listening ear. Love and prayers, Vicki. Well, you heard Vicki's testimony here. And, you know, Paul didn't know who Vicki was until she forgave and got deliverance in her very being and healing from a stroke and from terrible headache pains, and it was God saying, this is not going any further, you know, and you need to put a stop. And of course, Vicki was seeking God to find out why that her healing wasn't staying manifested. We'd pray and she'd get healed and it would come back. And there was a right. It had a right. And so this thing, this unforgiveness that was in her heart, that she didn't even know was there. When she examined with this kind of fear of the Lord upon her, she decided, yep, that's it. Okay. And now, like Paul says, he never knew this lady. He never knew this lady before all of their married life, you know. And that's it, folks. Sometimes people are overcome with demons and they, you know, a rejection, for instance, or anger. Or cancer or other demons that come in because God is saying, no further. You must deal with this, you know. And God can turn you over to tormenting demons that will kill you if you don't do something about it. So, folks, God is serious. It's the word of the Lord. God is serious. Cry out to God. Repent. Turn to Him with all of your heart. Let your garments be white in preparation for being in the bride of Christ, right? Forgive, forgive, forgive. You know, we've been dwelling on this a lot because God wants us to. And because He knows there are a lot of people out there that are not far from hell. And they need to hear the word of the Lord. Repent, repent, forgive. And you pray for those people that despitefully used you. Be obedient to God. Pray for them. Ask God. You know, I'm talking about if they're still alive, obviously. I ask God to forgive them and deliver them. It could be that God's holding them in bondage because you haven't forgiven them, you know, of what they've done to you. And yes, there is scriptural proof of that too. So forgive them, pray for them, ask God to give you a new heart, renounce unforgiveness. Remember what it's the Bible said of Esau, how that he sold his birthright, and that a root of bitterness defiled many. And it's doing that today. A root of bitterness defiles many people. You know, that faction thing, it just started with one man. The Lord gave us a witness of that, and then many people came to witness that later, saying, yes, it's true. That was true. That vision was true. Many people. It just started with one person who was praying over other people and imparting demons. Listen, folks, a root of bitterness can turn you over to Satan just like Esau. He lost his birthright. He literally sold his birthright. He was a son of Abraham. He did have the birthright, but he didn't keep it. Everything that would have been his was given to Jacob. That double portion of the father's inheritance. Oh, praise the Lord. Folks, cry out to God for people around you. Pray for people around you that you know are in this predicament. Some of you have talked to them and you haven't received any results. They have closed their mind, closed their heart. They just can't forgive them because of this or that, or they did this or they said that, or so on and so forth. Pray for them before they go off into eternity. Pray for them. Believe God for them. You know, we're not very far, folks, from a whole lot of torment coming from the beast. You know that? You know what the scripture says. It's not just the demon spirits, but the demon spirits in people that will do this, okay? So that puts many people in a very bad predicament. If they died, they'd go to hell. Because without forgiveness, you don't enter the kingdom. So I pray that people with spirits of criticism, judgment, anger, wrath, all are which men are manifestations of unforgiveness, slander, on and on and on. There's a big list, you know. I pray that people would consider this carefully. Well, to add to this story, I wanted to share with you Rick Sergeant's revelation that was given to him, which we've called The Unforgiven Can Run Out of Time. Rick said, I received a call from Mary in Indiana, and she told me that BW had passed away in her sleep. They found her in bed, I believe on Thursday, 5/17/12. I said, well, she is in heaven. And Mary said, yes, she is. I knew BW, but not as well as Mary did. I remember about 3 years ago, I had invited Mary and her friend B.W. over to hear a noted speaker in the area of deliverance. I put them up in a hotel. B.W. loved the Lord. She would buy Bibles, Christian literature, such as CDs and DVDs and books. And she would give them away to people who could not afford the ministry items. One area she really loved was seeing the power of the Lord in the area of deliverance. She always wanted to be in the assembly of the saints. Despite all these wonderful things, her life took a gradually worse turn. She was working for this employer, a well-known large company. The company did her wrong and cheated her out of her retirement because of an injury that she said had occurred while employed there. The company, in essence, disagreed with her. She became angry and eventually very bitter. She would not let it go, and it ate her up. She started to think the company was spying on her and had hidden cameras looking at her. She was consumed with it. It went to arbitration. In the natural, she probably would have won, but she kept bringing up the devil, and the company thought she was nuts. Well, she lost the case. People would pray for her, but she would not forgive. She would say, "I have forgiven them." But in reality, she was just giving lip service. Mary said this had went on for about 10 years, her holding unforgiveness and bitterness. She would tell people that she had forgiven the company, but later poison just spewed out of her mouth. Which, by the way, folks, you can tell when you've forgiven someone. If you're critical, unforgiving, railing, slanderous, etc., etc., you haven't forgiven. It's just pure and simple, you know. B.W. told me that her sister stole her husband away from her. Some say she had unforgiveness towards her sister. Well, at the beginning, Mary had told me of B.W.'s death, and it was said by her friends that she is now on the streets of glory. The Lord immediately gave me a very clear vision. I saw B.W. She had a robe on, but it was not white. It was not even off-white. It was a desert tan. I started to get concerned. She was kneeling down with her head down. I then looked where she was. The best way to describe it is it looked desolate. There were no hills. It was just flat. It looked semi-arid with little or no plant vegetation. I guess it looked like a desert. She had her hands clasped on each side of her face. This was quite troubling to look at, to say the least. I then looked up and saw from a distance two objects in the sky, flying relatively low to the ground. These flying objects were coming toward her direction. When it got closer, it was horrifying to look at. These two objects were two demonic creatures. They looked like gargoyles with bat-like wings. As each one touched her to pick her up, she raised her head, and the horror on her face would be something I would like to forget. Then they took her and flew away towards the direction from which they came. I watched until I could not see them anymore, and the vision ended. Thinking of what I just saw, great sadness came over me, and my eyes watered. I opened the Bible once, and my eyes fell on Psalm 6 and 2. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am withered away. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are troubled. My soul also is sore troubled. And thou, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver my soul, save me for thy loving kindness' sake. Well, amen. That's a good prayer for anybody that's in unforgiveness while it's not too late. Yeah. Even if the saints do not repent of unforgiveness, they too could have sickness, disease, and death of their mind, soul, and spirit, and will ultimately end up in hell. I've even asked God to search my heart to see if there is any unclean thing in me. The devil puts thoughts in a person's mind and says things like, "Look at all the wonderful things that you have done for the Lord. You've had your own Bible studies, even led people to Jesus. You're okay. Surely the Lord would overlook this." And the victim buys the lie, not knowing it's the devil feeding it to them directly. Do not be deceived, my brothers and sisters. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you sow unforgiveness, you will ultimately reap the Heavenly Father not forgiving you of your sins. And Mark 11 and 25 and 26 is very clear. Jesus said, "And whensoever you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against anyone, that your Father also, who is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father also, your Father who is in heaven, forgive your trespasses." So, that's very plain that whenever you pray and ask for anything, God's not going to hear if you have unforgiveness towards someone else. And he obviously wants you to think about this very often because he tells you to do it every time you pray. Right? Check and see if you've got any unforgiveness. It will be told by what comes out of your mouth, what's in your mind, what's in your thoughts. You can say, "Oh, I feel like I'm not forgiven. I'm not having a problem with the unforgiveness towards anybody," but it will be proven by what you say and what you do, just like it was with this lady. And then he had this dream of hell on March 2004. This dream was very real. I dreamed that the Lord took my spirit out of my body to visit hell, not for torment, but for observation only. All of my senses were very much alive. I went to the place of hell called outer darkness. I did not see any flames or demons. I could feel evil. I could feel the gritty sand-like substance under my feet. Immediately I saw four young men. I knew in my spirit their ages were 17 to 24. They all got there at the same time. I was about 15 feet from them. They could not see me. This part I cannot explain. There was a low-level light, and I could see their silhouettes. They had chains on them. Great sorrow came to my spirit. One of them started to talk. He kept saying over and over again, "I thought I had more time. I thought I had more time." And I recognized that voice, and I knew who he was. His name is B.A. I knew his mother. He was raised in church most of his life. I could feel what these young men were feeling. I felt remorse and hopelessness. The strongest among the two was remorse. It was 1,000 times stronger than at any time I felt remorse when I was on earth. It was so real. There was no comparison. It was horrible. Even if there were no flames, no demons in hell, but I know there are, that would be torment enough. People with no hope, no second chances, lost forever, are eternally separated from God. Some people have asked me why I did not see flames or demons. I explained it this way. If you have come to someone's house and they invited you in, you may only see their living room. If you only see their living room, it does not mean the house does not have a bedroom. You know there is a bedroom. You do not have to see the bedroom to know there is a bedroom in the house. And I believe there are different levels of, or rooms of hell, as there are different levels of heaven. We know there is a lake of fire, and there are no souls in the lake of fire until after the great white throne judgment. The lake of fire does not cover all of hell. Death and hell is a temporary abode until these two are thrown into the lake of fire after the final judgment. That's in Revelation 20, 11 through 15. I have another thought, too, I'll share with you about outer darkness, because it is a different place than the flames and the demons. You know, just like it's being stated here, it is outer darkness. It doesn't need flames and demons. It's a different kind of torment. And it could be the place where a lot of Christians go. And anyway, Rick goes on. He says, about the young man, B.A., the Lord sometimes gives us visions about the future to warn people, like he did the Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos when John saw the future to write the book of Revelation. And when I saw this, I had not talked to B.A.'s mom for close to a year. And I asked her how was her son doing and if he was going to church anywhere. She said that she's been asking him to go to church and he has been telling her he doesn't have time. Remember, in hell, he said, I thought I had more time. I thought I had more time. In the natural, he was busy with buying and building a house and working. I knew his mom knew spiritual things, so I told her what I saw. She believed and said she would tell her son, and I've not heard back. I believe God is separating the sheep from the goats. He's marking his own people. Ezekiel 9 and 4 says, and the Lord said unto him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, and set a mark on the foreheads of the men that sigh and cry over all the abominations that are done in the midst thereof. The devil marks his children spiritually and eventually physically. Well, I never heard back from that mom and her son. A very interesting thing happened about 2 weeks ago. I was telling this spirit-filled woman about the vision of hell. The next day, she said her first name is the same name as the mom whose son I saw in hell. She also said she has a son just like the one I saw in hell and with the same first name. Prophecy is multifaceted. It can apply to more than one situation. Yes, and it can apply to some situations out there. Any in matter of fact, where a person is in unforgiveness and needs to repent. Remember, you know, just what he said about doing all these good things. Remember what the Lord said in Ezekiel 18 and 24. When the righteous turneth away from his righteousness and committeth iniquity and doeth according to all the abominations that the wicked man doeth, shall he live? None of his righteous deeds that he hath done shall be remembered. In his trespass that he hath trespassed, and in his sin that he hath sinned, in them shall he die. And he repeats that just a few verses later to make sure you caught it. It doesn't matter what you've done. If you die in your sins, you die in your sins. The Lord is calling for repentance from this. He keeps bringing this subject up over and over, and I just know there are people listening that are saying the same thing. Oh, I'm forgiven. I've forgiven. No, you haven't. The Lord brings this up for a purpose. You need to repent of that and every manifestation of it, whether criticism, anger, wrath, judgment, railing, slander, etc., etc. Many manifestations of unforgiveness. rejection. We've shared with you Brother Frank's story about rejection from when he was a child. It all came from unforgiveness. He did not forgive his mom. There are people out there listening to me. You have not forgiven mom or dad or wife or husband or child or friend or whatever. You have not forgiven. Or company. You've not forgiven. You must forgive to be in the kingdom of heaven. Otherwise, you are not forgiven. So I hope you'll pay attention to this, folks.